This is the last of our series on finishing strong. And today, as you already know, the topic is killing the spider, or kill the spider. One of my happy childhood memories was catching and playing with spiders with my brother, of course not Pastor Fred, because he was already pastoring back at that time. And my younger brother and I will start around 6 p.m. and then do it again the following day at 6 in the morning, because we have discovered around that time the spiders were out. By weekend, Saturday morning, you know, we place these spiders on a separate matchbox on Saturday morning. That's the fun time. My brother and I will choose the best of these spiders, and we will have a spider fight. And this is how it goes. I have a stick around this long, and place the best of, I mean, I'll not use best, the meanest of the mean of the spiders. On this stick, I will hold the stick on the other side, the two spiders here. My brother and I were intently watching. Now that I am of this age, I discovered normally one of the spiders is normally a peaceful looking one. And the other one is normally the aggressive bully one. So this is how it goes. So two of them are here. The peaceful one is somewhere here, quiet. And the bully one is there, will begin to approach and ask for a fight. The quiet one will try to avoid, you know, going as far as it can. And guess what? The aggressive bully one will try to pursue and attack. And they begin to move. And they'll meet at the dead end. Right there. No choice. And then right there, the fun begins for my brother and I. These two spiders will quickly, the best they can do it, to really fight and try to harm one another. And I intently watch, they will try to release as fast as they can white-looking substance that is lethal. And in less than 10 seconds, one is choked, dead, enveloped with this white substance, which we call cobweb. It does not end there. After 3 days, I will kill the spider. I didn't have an idea back then that sometime in my life I will need to kill a different spider in the area of relationships. If you are struggling in this area today, I'm an encouraging word for you from the Word. And from my personal experience, I have at least killed 8 to 10 major spiders in my life. Let us now set the stage for the foundation of our topic, where relationship all started. Letter A, as you look at the outline, biblical foundation of relationship. The Bible gives us clear explanation of who and how relationship started. Look at A1 in your outline. Modeled by God back in eternity. God is the author and model of healthy relationships. Genesis 1:26-27. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock, of all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, created them, male and female, He created them. In the 17th century, John of Damascus, a Greek theologian, described the fellowship of the persons of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as perichoresis. Perichoresis means literally a circle dance. Imagine a circle. Chorus in ancient Greek referred to a round table dance performed at banquets, festive occasions. The verb form corenso meant to dance around. These round dances often include singing, hence the word in English, chorus. The prefix peri, Greek for roundabout or all around, emphasizes the circularity of the holy dance of the Trinity as envisioned by John of Damascus around the table. Centuries later, Andrei Rublev, a 15th century Russian Orthodox monk, produced a painting of the Holy Trinity fellowshipping around the table or perichoresis. If you want to give this a modern appearance, I'll just say a Starbucks atmosphere. Commenting on Rublev's icon of the Holy Trinity, Henry Newman, a Christian professor at Harvard University, made this comment years ago. I've never seen the house of love more than beautifully expressed in that icon of Trinity. It is indeed a good demonstration of the Godhead or the Trinity's mutual submission, teamwork, unity, harmony, love, and joy. Back in eternity, even before the creation of humans, the triune God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, have been having wholesome fellowship with one another while enjoying each other's fellowship in the Starbucks atmosphere around the table. One of the members of the Trinity made a proposal and said, we are enjoying so much this fellowship. We like the love, the joy with each other. Then the suggestion was, why don't we make humans? Why don't we make humans and share this joy called relationship? So we have A2, shared by God to humanity. God created humans to be his reflection of healthy relationships. We see that in Genesis 2, 7, 20, 24. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds, the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs. This is where we got now the menu spare ribs. And closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made the woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. Modern translation, when Adam saw Eve, the wife, for the first time, she said, pretty woman. And she was quickly inspired and composed a song. The title is, More Than a Woman to Me. Notice with me the unique qualities of humans as it relates to their creation. God created Adam and Eve after his likeness and image. Obviously, the likeness was not physical, for God is spirit. Rather, his likeness in human include the capacity to think, choose, feel, and love. among others. God wanted humans to enjoy a loving and harmonious relationship, not only with Him, but with one another. In the context of this message on relationship, God wants us to experience a roundtable relationship or perichoresis with the significant people in our lives, with the Trinity or the Godhead modeled even back in eternity. God, in fact, is saying to us humans today, our roundtable fellowship with members of Godhead is so sweet, harmonious, loving, joyful. We would like to share this recipe to you. People and offspring of Adam, we want to seek to share this relationship that we have been enjoying to you. And then God continued, and then, by the way, I want you to model this round table fellowship and the relationship started at home, your extended family, friends, and beyond. When you do this, God was telling them, you are behaving like me, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, by modeling love, care, and good relationship with the special people that I placed in your lives. Then we proceed. So God set the stage back in eternity. We proceed to letter B. Let's now look at contextual dimensions of human relationships. Human relationships do not happen in a vacuum, as we know, because its nature is interpersonal. You and another person or persons. That is why God is a Trinity. God intentionally puts us in relationship context with significant people in our lives, and sometimes people who are unique in their behavior and personality. There are five expectations or dimensions, I said, in interpersonal relationships. Dimension one, expectation. That's the starting point. Legitimate expectations within the context of a specific relationship. Who are these people? Your spouse. If married, parent-child relationships, if you have. Your parents-in-law, if you have, an indication that you are really blessed by God. Your daughter-in-law, your son-in-law, your brothers and sisters-in-law, your close relative and extended family members, your just family, friends, employer, employee. These relationships are governed by expectations, written and unwritten. These are special people that God placed in our lives, that the relational God intentionally allowed us to have. That is, if you value relationships like the Godhead. Expectation comes from the Latin word expectationem, which means awaiting or waiting for something to happen. Our English dictionary defines expectation as a feeling or belief that something will or should happen. There are two kinds of expectations, legitimate or illegitimate, reasonable, unreasonable. Let's not worry about illegitimate or unreasonable expectations of people that, like the strangers or people that we don't really know. Please take note again of the relationships we highlighted above. These are special people that God allowed to have in our lives. Therefore, there are reasonable, fair expectations that are supposed to be met in significant relationships of important people in our lives. Let us quickly review them. Start with our spouse. My wife and I have some kind of a ritual when we wake up in the morning. Please don't ask me what it is. It will be revealed only in eternity. But I can give you a clue. When we began to get closer, imagine nobody have combed their hair yet. Natural look. Our chihuahua is in the middle, which annoyed me at the time. I like the chihuahua. And the chihuahua will look at it like this and then bark. I don't know why. Seriously, there are expectations between husband and wife that are stipulated in the Bible that needs to be met. Not to mention the vows you made on your wedding day before God and before people as witnesses, unless during the ceremony you were so in a hurry and began to think of what's next. The reception. Picture taking. I don't know how you try to giggle. I need to talk to you after the service. I don't get it. How about parent-child relationship? The Bible is clear about expectations of these significant relationships. There are innate expectations between a child and parents. The parent or parents set the tone in this relationship. How about close relatives? The blood relationship is the foundation. The good and caring relationship is the true demonstration of kinship, not just your shared DNA or your family name. We can continue to this hierarchy of relationships. The closer the degree of relationships, the more normal and legitimate and fair expectations exist. From expectation, now we move to unmet expectation. Failure to meet the above mentioned expectations. Again, these expectations are fair, legitimate, within that context. If these reasonable and normal expectations are not met, guess what? There's a problem. But it does not stop there. We move to number 3. Result, disappointment. The person experiences great disappointment. The person begins to wonder and ask, what is going on with my spouse? He always comes home so late at night. He used to tell me, I cannot imagine living without you. And now he tells me, I cannot imagine living with you anymore. The husband complains, I ask her for a date. She always answers, the kids. The kids. The teenager complains, on the other hand, my parents are always busy at work, and when they are at home, they are glued on TV, especially during the NBA season, and now it gets worse because Lakers got LeBron James. I do. What about your BFFs, if you have? Well, my BFF failed me just when I needed him or her the most. And you know that was a song way back ago. The unmet expectations can be summarized in the following. Taken for granted, neglect, verbal abuse, physical abuse, extramarital affairs, or sometimes the shocking sexual abuse. The Bible describes this as sin, two kinds of sin. Sin of omission, that is failure to do what you needed to do. On the other hand, there is sin of commission, failure to do what you are not supposed to do. The context, relationships. What is the connection between our brain and our body when it comes to expectation or and disappointment? According to John Hopkins neuroscience professor Dr. Richard Hukanir, in anticipation of fulfilled expectations, our brain releases feel-good chemicals called dopamine and adrenaline. And when you combine them, something exciting happens. Example, you are expecting a visit from your children or from your parents during this Thanksgiving or Christmas. But last minute, you receive a text. Can come. Then what happened? The feel-good chemical decreases. Result? Disappointment. Then what happened next after unmet legitimate expectation and disappointment? 4, emotional injury. I cannot even say it because it's so emotional. Emotional, relational injury. The person experiences deep emotional pain in this relationship. The person is emotionally wounded, hurt. The closer the relationship, the legitimacy and reasonableness of expectation, the deeper the wound of this emotional pain. This is aggravated when it is repeated. Example, my spouse that I love should not neglect me. My children should not take me for granted. My dad is just surfing in the internet. He cannot even watch my game. Why am I treated unfairly by this boss? You got it. By this time, the relationship is already damaged. Relational struggle begins. From expectation to unmet expectation, to disappointment, emotional injury. Subsequently, this leads to 5, anger. The residual result of resentment, the spider. The offended person develops strong feeling of anger and resentment, which is, by the way, justified, normal, and expected under this context of special relationships that we mentioned a while ago. It is interesting to note that the book of Hebrews, where our text was taken or written, the Jewish believers or Christians, it was addressed to Jewish believers or Christians, which contain 4 specific instructions. The context of this is relationship. And then I read to you, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. 4 quick instructions in relationships as God's people from this text. Do your best to cultivate peaceful human relationships. The peace we need to strive in verse 14, it is not peace with God. It's right there. Peace with one another as human beings. It's right there in the text. Doing one's best to meet fair and reasonable expectation within the context of people that God placed in your life. That is the peace. Next, be holy. In Greek, the meaning is clear. It means to be different. In essence, God is saying to us, as God's people, don't treat the significant people I place in your life as though you don't know God, as though you did not know the kind of relationship I modeled to you back in eternity. Be different. Don't neglect and take them for granted by ignoring their legitimate needs and expectations. Be like the Trinity. Now there is a warning. Because without holiness in relationship with the special people in our lives, you cannot see God. That is the context of this. 3, don't miss the grace of God. It says there, be sure you don't fall short of the grace of God. Now, maybe you are wondering, Pastor Abe, I thought, you know, these people in the book, the Hebrews, were already Christians. They already experienced the grace of God, the salvation, right? How come it was repeated in this instruction in the context of relationship? Do you know why? This is what God is trying to say when you exegete this. God was saying to them, I know you already accepted me as your Savior and Lord. I want you now to walk the talk in your relationship. Show it. Demonstrate it. That is a part of God's grace. I place these people so special in your lives. Walk the talk. And then, no root of bitterness. That's instruction that harm people around you. It says, no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. William Barclay, an eminent Christian scholar, explained this to us. According to this scholar, the root of bitterness here is actually referring to a person. A person who causes a lot of difficulty in relationships, a lot of pain in relationships, causing pain to the person, his or herself, and people around them, failing to demonstrate the grace of God in the relationship. That's why it says, it's a no-no for God's people. Now we come to the last point. Typical reactions to anger and resentment in relationships. There are three of these reactions when there is anger and resentment. One, incubate. The emotionally injured person dwells on the injury. Imagine a hen laying on its eggs as a picture in our mind at this time. The relationally wounded person continues to rehearse the hurt and the emotional pain. The theme of his or her conversation is the offense that happened maybe recently or even many years ago. The person's mind is preoccupied with the injury, and the person is subsequently affected, even the health, the faith, the relationship. Doctors call this somatic symptoms or physical symptoms begin to show in the body. It happens. I don't blame the person. My heart goes up to this injured person. For us who have been wounded in a relationship by people that are significant to us can relate to this. The person struggles with the issue of forgiveness. The spine there. Another possible response, retaliate. From incubate, now they want retaliation. Do you see how it flows? The emotionally injured person may desire to retaliate. A little boy was sitting on a park bench in obvious pain. A man walked by and asked the boy, "What was wrong?" The young boy answered, "I am sitting on a bumblebee." man asked, "Then why don't you get up?" The boy replied, "Because I figure out I am hurting them more than they are hurting me." The emotionally hurt person wants justice. He or she wants to get even because what happened is not fair and right. Remember, these are special people that God placed in your life. We're not talking about strangers here. There are two ways to retaliate. I'm not teaching you to do them, but I'm just throwing them up to you. You can retaliate through your imagination. So you are enjoying sitting. Then you remember this person close to you keeping on injuring you. I wish that he or she, what? You are an expert. I don't know. Help me. And when that imagination happens, look at the smirk on your face. Aha! They don't normally say hallelujah in the service, but at that time, hallelujah. You got it. From imagination, if it is not taken care of, we have actualization. This emotionally injured, angry person that was hurt by a significant other in the context of their relationship decided to do something violent. Physically, aggressively, or sometimes not physically, but in other ways to get even. The person at this time is now full of poison. The spider's poison. There must be a resolution to this forgiveness issue. From incubate to retaliate, the last reaction to anger and resentment, number three, terminate. The emotionally injured person decides to do something about the, you know it by now, the spider. At this juncture, the issue of emotional hurt and forgiveness has been going on for some time. The person who is struggling with the forgiveness issue is faced with a decision. What will I do now with the spider? Will I nourish it and keep it alive, or say it with me, or kill it? Ephesians 4:30, 31, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you." What is forgiveness? Forgiveness in Greek, translated forgiveness in our language, literally means let go. Say it with me. We forgive others when we let go of resentment, give up the claim for the emotional and relational injury we have suffered from these special people. Remember the Lord's Prayer, right? A part of it says, "Father, forgive me." What's next? "As I forgive others of my debts or trespasses." the spider. When you decide to let go, what happens? You are the first beneficiary of the result. Freedom, peace, joy, healing is released to me and to you by God. The spider is killed. Jesus said, on the other hand, the offender has a spider to kill also. So at this time, I would like to introduce another spider. The spider of the offended person struggle to forgive because of the pain. And the struggle of the offender. Hopefully the person is struggling. The words of Jesus. And whosoever welcomes a child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for that person to have a large millstone hung around the neck and to be drowned and to drown in the depths of the sea. In ancient time, without modern means of execution, one of the ways to execute an evil person was for the executioner to put a heavy stone on their back, tie it, and throw that person to the sea for the person to drown. And guess what? Jesus used this strong picture. It is so serious to offend one of these little ones. And by the way, these are not literally small kids. These are the innocent, peaceful people in the church, in your extended family, in your relationships. These are the people of God. 5:23-25, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there you remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. Then first, go and be reconciled to your brother or sister. Then come and offer your gift. Old Testament picture. Let's make it modern. You are worshiping the Lord. Maybe you are ministering to the Lord. You are teaching. You are ushering. You are preaching. You are so busy with your work and with your ministry. And God, the Holy Spirit, speak to you about the person that you have offended. And what does the Word of God say? Stop what you are doing. If you are ministering, that's not the first business of the day. Don't hide in the business of our activities. Don't hide in the business even of our ministry. Not bad, but in this context, that's not the first priority. The Lord says, stop that. I want you to take care first of this business. Today, all of us are given an opportunity to make a decision what to do with the spider. Offended, offender. Let's meditate the Word of God. Prepare the black sheet as we pray after the song.
Lord, I offer my days to you. Lift
want you to look this chair, this empty chair that I'm holding right now. This black paper is a representation of the spider that you need to kill. There are two spiders here this morning. The spider of the offended person, the struggle that you are going through. Because somebody in the special circle of people that God placed in your life injured you, sometimes repeatedly. You know the ways. And maybe another person is the offender. Let's use this chair today to try to kill the spider. Imagine this empty chair. This is the person that injured you sitting here. Or the other, or you can reverse it depending on the situation. So now, let's do this. Let's call the person Miss or Miss ABC. I am the wounded party, and I want to kill the spider now, and this is what I'll do. First, I will pray, Jesus, I have been struggling because of the pain that was caused by an important person in my life to forgive. I have been incubating. I have been trying to retaliate. Today, O Lord, after this message, I decided to kill the spider. I decided to forgive Miss or Mr. ABC. I dropped my paper right there. You can do that if you are the offender. You can join me here. Let's move around and drop this paper. I have my own too. Already dropped. While EJ is playing, saying again, move now here and drop the paper. Those who wants to do it, no pressure, EJ.
Things in the past,
right, right.
Things yet unseen. Wishes and dreams that are yet
yes.
to come true. All of my heart and all of my praise, my heart and my hands are lifted to you. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Lord, I offer you my life.
This will be done very quick. I want your focus right this empty this chair. I drop mine. Stretch your hand towards this, and by faith, let's bury the spider. Jesus, thank you for your forgiveness. We know how to forgive because you have forgiven us. Lord, we have been carrying this for a long, long time, this injury. By faith, Lord, I may not possibly feel it, but by faith, I choose to kill the spider. I bury Miss or Mr. ABC. And if you are the offender, you can pray also. Jesus, I have been struggling with pride. Thank you for convicting me today. I want to kill that spider also, Lord, that I have caused. Give me the grace to do the right thing and do something about it. Now open your eyes. We have prayed in faith. What do you see? It's a new day. Symbolically, give me a few seconds. I'm going to Forest Lawn.